God, that's good stuff, ain't it? That'll help you. That'll take you out of a cloudy day and put sunshine in your life. Thank you, Miss Cece. I appreciate the song tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 is my assignment for this evening. A place that changes everything. Nothing was more exciting than for the people of God to have thoughts that one day they shall stop pulling up stakes and they shall have a permanent residence for worship. One of the priorities behind such thinking was that in the Egyptian days they were held captives. They were in bondage. They were in a foreign place, a foreign land, and under foreign gods. They were out of touch with what it was like to walk in true communion with the Lord. But one day, God, through the mouthpiece of a man in leadership named Moses, the Lord nudged him to go into Egypt and to bring out God's children. Of course, we know the story. Moses had some complications in his own heart and his own mind, and because of his playing around, God kind of hushed him up and sent somebody as a spokesman down there and still allowed him to be their leader. God can use any element he chooses to bring about his will. But where we find ourselves in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 is a time of celebration. I don't know about y'all, but I hear a whole lot of negative talk in society. I think Washington got it all wrong. I think they've got it all messed up in Hollywood. And I believe if anybody ought to have it right, it ought to be the Church of the Living God. Oh, I want to tell you, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I've got a lot to shout about. Thank God I know my name's written down. I have a home in glory. I have Jesus Christ as my Lord. And the propeller is the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. What a great joy to know him. In the day of celebration, they were celebrating having come to a place of full standing, knowing that the Lord's presence and his dwelling power was ever present. When we come to 2 Chronicles chapter number 6, we're going to point out several things that appear to be priorities when it looks into the face of worship. Number one, I want you to notice a word that is used repetitively and repeatedly is the word Lord. If you know anything about worship, it will move you to think that God is a God that shows himself when it comes to worship. Everything they did in the tabernacle when they were moving about from place to place and pulling up stakes, they did that as the Spirit of God would lead them to do so. When the Lord wanted them to move, he put that cloud on the move. When he wanted them to stop, that cloud came to a stop. By the way, when they came to a time of worship, they sought the very presence and the power and the approval of God. See, worship is not about us feeling good. It's about us connecting with what God is doing, and that is good. When we come to a time and we come to a place that we understand the place we worship is the most valuable element in our life, it will move us to try to make that environment the most protective environment for our families ever known in our living. I want you to stand, if you're able, tonight in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Not quite sure how many verses I'll read. I'll read till I feel like I need to stop. And then we'll just kind of leave it at that. 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. You found it? Would you say amen? Amen. Then said Solomon, the Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. But I have built a house of habitation for thee and a place for thy dwelling forever. The king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. You can be seated. I guess I get moved by a lot of things when I read verses about the children of God. Number one, at many times they were a very restless people. They had trouble coming out of Egypt. They were excited about the fact that they were leaving bondage. Kind of typical of where we were when we came up out of sin. It's a real joy the night I got saved. I don't know how it was the day you were born into God's family, but I want to tell you, it was a glorious Saturday when I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was excited about it.
I want to tell everybody Jesus Christ saved my soul. But that only traveled for 3 days. And after 3 days, the environment began to change. And it seemed like hardship began to show its face. Discouragement sat in. Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
They begin to encounter the doubtings of the mind. They begin to look now at the steps they take as steps too complicated for them to take. What happens when a person adapts to that kind of mindset? They begin to turn around and look backward. They begin to look back at where... Y'all still here, aren't you? They begin to look back at Egypt. They begin to think about the comfortable bedsides that they laid in. And they begin to think about, even though they had hardships, they didn't have to do nothing except go through that routine. Well, I don't tell you, when you're in bondage, that's bad enough.
That's right, brother.
Being set free is still a joy. Knowing that Christ is my Lord and heaven is my home is real exciting. Amen. We ought to be moved by the fact that we have come out of sin and out of bondage, and we're headed to a city which have foundations whose builder and maker is God.
Yes,
glory to God, that's
Amen.
Good.
Yes,
now, the environment of worship had changed somewhat. They begin to experience the touch and the power of God. They watched him when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and take that blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And God himself, they would wait to see how the Lord would respond.
Yes,
and that Shekinah glory, when that pillar cloud would hover over that tabernacle, was a sign of God's approval. Great God Almighty, I'm glad that the Lord himself can approve it when we do it right.
Amen.
I'm feeling good now.
Amen.
I can see the fascination of worship because of what God was doing. But behind fascination was one of the highest mysteries ever known to public worship. There was the mystery of the thick cloud or the cloud. They could not see God. By the way, it never was a matter of them seeing God. It was a matter of them hearing from God. You better be careful about what you gauge, what you see on. You can't, your eyes will fool you.
Right,
I don't see air, but thank God I breathe it.
Amen.
I don't have to see it. When you see the trees are blowing, you're not seeing the air, you're seeing the results of the air moving.
Right,
now I can see that the people of God are encouraged by worship. There are three principles today that I want to make you aware of. Number one, I want to make you aware that there is a priority in worship. They became, Solomon pointed out that they ought to be aware of the priority of worship. I want to tell you, it's the highest priority in your week when you gather together in the house of God for worship. Secondly, they were made aware of the presence of God in worship. If the Lord is not present, everything we do is dead and dull. Sometimes it's not like I want it. I mean, I like to sit down at that piano and play a song once in a while. I make melody in my soul. God begins to move the strings of my heart and I get excited about it. But I can't play the piano all the time. I can't sit down and move this and move that. But I'm praying for God to put people in those places that can be a contribution to worship.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He not only makes them aware of the priority of worship, he makes them aware of the very presence of God in worship. Then he makes them aware of the principles of blessing through worship. Those three things we want to deal with tonight. We're going to read a few verses more so that the picture begins to show us full color. In verse number 3, and the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. Keep in mind now, they've been moving for a long time. They have been shoveling here and shoveling there, and now they're going to get to enjoy the place of worship. David was a man of worship. The Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. I really don't find anybody else that the Lord said exactly like those words about any other person. Do you? And so it tells me something about the desire of David. David pointed his son toward a God that could change eternities and a God that could change lives. And he planted a seed. That boy might have known a lot of things about his daddy, but one thing more than anything else he come to know was his daddy believed in worship. David pointed out to us the priority of knowing the shepherd of all worship. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I want to tell you, where God sits is a place of honor. Where God stands is a place of authority. Who God is a means of endowment. I appreciate God's good graces. Now notice, in addition to that, the Bible says, "And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood." I want to plant one more thought in your mind before we go any further. I think now Solomon has got fully excited about being able to gather into the house of worship. If you've been in a place where it looked like things have been constantly changing, and you'd like for things to become full maturity in spiritual worship, then God's here to speak to that need in your life. Number one, I want you to notice that this place of worship got the attention of God's people. Now I'll tell you something, it'll silence all the noises in the back of your mind. He had something in mind for Solomon. I would say one more thing while I'm here. It pays to step in the right place the first go round, because there may be no second chances. I will say this flat-footed. Your children need to be where the power of God is. Your heart needs to be where the will of God is displayed. And our lives need to be formulated by what the Spirit of God is doing in development. And God's here to help us and to manifest His power. A place that changes everything. It was the place of worship. The place that changed everything in their life identified three things. First of all, it was the place of the presence of God. We could have a great extravagant building. We could drop chandeliers. We could put stained glass all the way around the room. But if we didn't have God here, it would be worth nothing. It would be null and void of anything that would benefit us or glorify God. One of the first things that Solomon got involved with was the very dedication of this temple should be unto God. He not only was a man showing us the priority of worship, wanted to make us aware of it. He wanted us to specify the person that we worship. Several times, I'll give you just a few things as I'm passing that are of importance to us. The word Lord is used in verse 1, verse 4, verse 7, verse 8, 10, 11, 12, 14, 16, 17, 18, 19. I don't have time to deal with the rest of them. I just want you to know His name keeps popping up. You know, I don't know what's happened to our churches nowadays, but people have forgotten who's the most important person in the place we worship. It's the Lord. I love to see you. I'm excited to see you. I'm glad you're here. But I want to tell you, if we couldn't find God when we got here, we couldn't enjoy each other. People's lives are being changed all the time. Some of you sitting in these pews tell of how God brought you to this environment, brought you to this place, have brought you to this church. And you had a lot of mixed emotions. But I tell you, after you see God through and after you begin to listen to God's voice, you begin to see it was all part of the plan. Yes, sir. Amen. Some of my biggest hopes and dreams were built in the midst of some diverse times. Sometimes when I didn't have all the pieces of life in front of me. Times when I wasn't sure about all things. Miss Ruby had talked a little bit about it. Miss Troy had talked a little bit about it. About how when I first came to this church, there was a lot of mixed emotions. There's a lot of things going on that would have made any preacher be concerned. By the way, I was not blindfolded. God showed me a lot of stuff before I ever came to this church 10 years ago that has proven itself to be real. Right down to the very impact of the environment, how it was. Now, I won't tell you that I came in here like a bull snorting and blowing and thinking that I had it all put together, because I did not. As a matter of fact, the morning that I was supposed to come to this church and this church was going to vote, I'd almost decided that I wouldn't let them vote on me. My phone rang four times that morning. Now, I don't want that to trouble you. I just want you to understand one thing. I'm not interested in jumping right out of the frying pan into the fire.
That's right.
But I am interested in following the plan of the will of God. Amen. And I want to say flat-footed here tonight, I don't have any regrets for doing the will of God.
Amen.
You should never apologize for walking in the will of God. I can hear Solomon now as he begins to display for us some of the blessings of what his daddy had laid by and laid for him as he made plans for this dedication. His daddy had pointed out to him the priority of knowing that worship should be a place that is aware of God's presence. He has a message, by the way. And Solomon began to state the purpose of this temple was to be a place where the very presence and the glory of God resided. You can go to Hollywood and find a lot of things. Several years ago, we went into Nashville, and I used to be in the insurance business, and I won a lot of trips. I traveled a lot, went a lot of places before I even began preaching. And one of the places that I went was went through Nashville and went through all these things and stayed in that hotel up there, that old, the man that was the big pool shark lived in. They let him stay there permanently. And I remember walking into that place one morning and hearing him gloat about all the successes that he had in playing pool. And he'd do all these things. And I thought, you know, that was really good. And come to find out, the old man was living there because they chose his popularity was popular, but he was busted. I thought all them successes is worth nothing now because all he is a has-been. Of course, I kind of felt sorry for him. If you'd have seen how he was dressed, you would have too. Nothing he had on matched. Well, I'm a color coordinator. I believe it ought to match. I mean, right down to your socks, praise God. I don't wear black pants and blue socks. If you do, that's your business. Some things just messed up. The one thing I can see Solomon now is moved by, it is the fact that worship had a priority in his father's life, and it had a priority in his life. The impact of worship on him. Notice in verse 1, the Bible said, then said Solomon, the Lord hath said that he would dwell in thick darkness. He takes us back to the time when God revealed himself in thick darkness. I don't have a lot of time to deal with it, but if you were interested, I had done a little research, and I've got several verses that dictate to us the times and the places that God showed up in thick darkness. You know what? The Lord was just simply saying, I've been in the clouds, Solomon. I've been where you've been. I've been where your daddy's been.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I tell you, I've been a few places in life I would have liked to have forgotten. I've traveled a few places that I didn't think was as impressive to me as it was to some people. Traveled a few places that I thought if I didn't believe in the sovereignty of God, I wouldn't have thought the Lord was there. Of course, there's some places I kind of think he went one time and left. I mean, it's just the way it appeared. Of course, we all know different, right? There's not a spot on this planet that God has not invaded. I can see now that the awareness and the priority of worship is an importance. He first of all talks about the position that God had in the place of worship. He was in the thick, that was a mystery to them. You had to be looking. Exodus chapter 10, 22, and Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land, in the land of Egypt 3 days. Exodus 20, 21, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near under the thick darkness where God was. Deuteronomy 4:11, and ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. It's always been a mystery how God showed up in that thick darkness. But I'm here to tell you, great God Almighty, he's a God of light, and he brought a message to his people. I would probably get ahead of myself, but I'll just go ahead and throw it out because we may not be here about a couple more minutes. I think it didn't really matter. It didn't really matter what they thought about the cloud as much as it was the priority of the cloud. Now, I think there's a whole lot of voting going on in most worship services today. People come in and sit down and they're casting a vote. They're saying, well, I approve of this or I don't approve of that. I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to approve of everything that God divinely puts together. Everything. Everything. I've come to a firm persuasion that if I can just find where the Lord is, it's kind of like in that service this morning, I could sense the Spirit of God was moving and God was doing something, but I was trying to wait until the Lord brought to full culmination all that He wanted to do, and I couldn't touch it. As long as man can touch it, man can somewhat turn it. But when he gets to the place that he pulls back his hand, God puts together things the way he wants them. Number one, Solomon has now come to a conclusion that the Lord himself was dwelling in thick darkness. But now he said in verse number two, but I have built an house of habitation for thee and a place for thy dwelling forever. I want to tell you, when God put it in their mind that they could have a place to worship and that they could settle down, thank God, that was a whole lot better than moving here and moving there, that they could just settle down and glorify God. I don't know why some people can't get it worked out, do you? Never have got it settled with God. Constantly. If they ain't jumping in the bubble world every service, they kind of restless. If God hadn't showed up in the stars, he hadn't brought about thunder. By the way, he did come out in thunders and lightnings a few times. But if he's not doing that in the church house, they think, well, something's the matter. I got news for you. God may be doing something in you and God may be doing something in me when the silence begins to come. Do you know that very few people pick up on the environment of this congregation? As a rule, this congregation is pretty much a quiet, calm congregation until occasionally. I mean, you know, I try to tell preachers, they may not jump up and down and shout at you, but they'll be listening. And I want to tell you how you instruct people. Had to know something about the plan and the power of God. If all I ever taught you was to be emotional, you would probably come to a place that you gauge the will of God on emotion, and emotion can mislead you drastically.
Yes, it can, preacher. Yes.
I want to tell you, serving God is more than emotion. There is an awareness of the priority of worship. First of all, it was a place of communion designated. It was a place where they could come and get their spiritual needs met. No matter what. The Bible said the king turned his face and he blessed the whole congregation of Israel. Now I'm kind of moved by that. You've got to understand, they have been on the move. There were times in their history that they dishonored the things of God. Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
There were times that they threatened to kill the man of God. They did. One of the biggest landslide avalanches, I think, and spiritual cramps was the day that they just about was ready to hang Moses. For the record, Moses had spent his life is designated to three terms in 40-year increments. He learned the culture of those Egyptians. He knew what was at stake when he went into Egypt. He was the very instrument and the element that God led them out of Egypt from and led them for 40 years in the wilderness. For the record, Moses never crossed over into the promised land as far as earthly men know it. But I do have good news for you. He travels that way by spiritual means, and the spiritual means of God's plan and God's program brings him to hope. You could have said, I feel sorry for Moses, and he'd laugh at you. He knew what it was like, how to trust God. He had saw God move. He never got over the fire that burned at that bush. It stirred him. It stayed with him. It spurred him to trust God. I want you to notice that Solomon is showing us now that there is a, he said, I have built a house of habitation for thee. Solomon had something that was very important in mind. He was ready for things to be stable only in the Lord. Do you understand that the place of habitation is the Hebrew word for dwelling?
Amen.
It is the word that we would use in our English language for residence.
Yes,
I don't live at 125 West 27th Street. That's the church address. I live at 5732 Selkirk Drive, Hickory. But I'm only there for a short while. My final resting place is in glory.
Amen.
Somebody said, what's the P.O. box? Don't need one.
That's right.
Don't need a P.O. box. I want to tell you, when you get there, it'll all be just right. There won't be no incoming and no outgoing. It'll just be all uplifted. I like that idea, don't you? I want you to notice the place of God's presence was important. He said it was a dwelling place forever. I like that word for habitation in that it is a dwelling place, but I like the word that he uses in the Hebrew language for place because it brings us the idea of confirmation or fixture. It brings us to the mindset that it has a foundation for sure. See, when you put in a foundation for a building, you don't do it twice. You do it one time. And everything that you have is built upon that foundation. Every truss. And every wall, it all rests in that foundation. And if your foundation is corrupt, your building will come tumbling down. I'll give you a couple little elements that might make it a little bit more interesting. There are not only words like the Lord that is mentioned that makes a big issue. It is words like thy people. He wants us to understand that God was working with people. Worship is with people. You can't get a desk to worship. You can't get light bulbs to worship. God doesn't move through inanimate objects. You know, things that don't have the heart and the pumping of the blood. And I've told this many times. I don't really want to trade places with nothing. But if I was going to be an inanimate object, I'd just be one of them Krispy Kreme donut vats. You know, where all that white, good, sweet stuff is. That's... I'd just be lapping it up.
Amen.
I just want to know if you was paying attention.
Amen.
We might want some donuts when this is all over. He wanted them aware of the priority of worship. He wanted them aware of the place of worship. And thirdly, he wanted them aware of the person we worship. He had been working with them. He had been leading them. He had been touching them. He had been instructing them, and now they finally came to a place and finally came to a fixture in life that they could be there. And he said he wanted God there forever. Now we all know that that was the earthly dwelling he spoke of. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get some things straightened out in our thinking. We're only here for a while. When the Lord took up residence, he took up residence in the earthly tabernacle of our heart. And he'll live there forever. They wanted a sign, and they wanted a symbol, and they wanted the significance of public worship. They wanted God present. And I believe all of that's important. But that was not where it ended. That was where the Lord occupied. You know, he told those men, he said, just occupy till I come. Everything they did in Old Testament worship was just to bring them up to Calvary. Because the whole principles under which they worshiped brought on new meaning when Calvary came. The Lord didn't just show up himself in fire after Calvary. He came in the person of the Holy Ghost. He didn't come to just show up for public worship. He came to inhabit the people of worship. He lives inside of us. He's not just in the walls here, and he's not just around the walls. He is in us. He's in the reservoir of our life and in our hearts. I see not only the priority of worship and that he makes them aware of, I see the presence of God in worship, and he makes that a priority. Notice that the words that Solomon used before the people encouraged them in verse 3. And the king turned his face and bless the whole congregation of Israel. Keeping in mind now, these people had been through some rugged territory. They had been doubters from the very beginning. I wish we could get rid of doubters, don't you? I'm talking about what happens in our own minds. I wish we could just get rid of all these doubts, don't you? You see, we got so many misnomers, so many misconceptions, so many things that are so crowded in our mind that we don't know. Boy, there comes a time when God counsels all doubts. Number one, I want to show you that in their worship, God counseled all doubts when he showed up in that pillared cloud. For he approved by his presence. He was there.
Amen.
Now, how does God work in our lives today? He works in our life by showing us that he is ever present. They didn't want to move anymore. They didn't want to pull up stakes anymore. They wanted the cancelization of all those things that where they moved around. They wanted to be with God, and they wanted life stable again. Well, how does that happen? Number one, you have to get out of the wilderness. You notice that tabernacle, it was evident in the wilderness, right? And now to get out of the wilderness, they can erect the building. I call it the crossover point, the crossover period. Oh, I want to tell you, when the Lord had finally reached the culmination of their days and that time of wandering was over, guess what? They crossed over.
Yes, they did.
They went to another land. They were able to enjoy new territory. They were enjoying new things. A new place. They would see new purpose. And I want to tell you, the hardest thing that we ever overcome was to find new purpose in things that bring about such indecision in our mind. We're all messed up when it comes to, there are principles of blessing involved, a priority of worship, the presence of God in worship, the principles of worship. I want you to notice one of the things that encouraged the people in verse number 3. The Bible said that, and the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. I guess that by now they are mesmerized or moved by what was being said. I want to tell you, nothing should be more moving than for us to get a word from God. In their heart and in their mind, they now got a word from God. I want to tell you, after all was said and done, they would have to conclude, Moses led us all the way up to the river and the crossing. Moses brought us here. Wished we'd treated Moses differently. Wished we'd have been more polite and kind to him. You know, if it hadn't been for Moses, our children would have never seen the promised land. For the record, they all died except Joshua and Caleb when they crossed into the promised land. And I will say this repeatedly until I drop dead. When they went into Canaan, the battle was not over. That's why the place I'm going is heaven. The battles are over. So I want to tell you, heaven is not a type. Listen, Canaan cannot be a type of heaven in that respect.
Amen.
There's still battles going on.
Amen.
Conflicts going on. When I get to glory, the battle's over.
Amen.
The race is run. I want to tell you, I'm looking forward to settling down in glory.
Amen.
Aren't you? I can see now why Solomon was so moved. Notice he blessed the people. It meant two things. That word in the Hebrew language for bless or blessed is the word that means to benefit. They needed exactly what he was delivering. By the way, he was not delivering his own words. He was delivering the words of God.
Amen.
Secondly, it is the Hebrew word for meaning to steal. It means it dismisses fear and calms the spirit, brings repose to a restless crowd. I want to tell you, it's always relaxing and good how to know that God shows up, and when the Lord shows up, there's a peace that settles in your heart.
Amen.
I've done a lot of things that made me restless. Have you?
Yeah.
I've been through a lot of stuff that made me uneasy. Have you? But I'll tell you one thing. When God steals me, I'm all right. I'm about like Brother Mays Jackson said, sometimes God will be surreal to me. I could fight hell with a water pistol. It just feels real good to know that I'm marching according to God's plan. I can see the place of God's presence evident. I can see the prominence of God's power needed. The Bible says there that in the congregation of Israel stood. They were waiting like a child waiting for its mother how to feed him. They were people there standing, abiding to see where the Lord was at work, raising to be used in the hands of God, remaining to do whatever is necessary. I want to tell you, our churches need people with that kind of determination. People that can stand, doesn't matter whatever it is, they'll just stay right with you.
Amen.
Miss Floyd made a comment this morning about a handful of people that stayed with this church through all the turbulence that it's been through in the years. By the way, that turbulence was not created by this pastor, was it? That turbulence was created because people miss God. Some things we just inherit, but it sure makes you appreciate the calmness of the water when it's past, doesn't it? I want to tell you, when I see him now, I can see him having something good to say. He let them know that he could raise them, that there would be standing because they were abiding. They were being raised up and they would remain. Notice in verse number 4, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Solomon, the only way he could calm their heart and calm their spirit was to let them know that God is the reason that we've been blessed.
Amen.
He used the word God. There is the word in the Hebrew language for Elohim. It means two things prioritively. Number one, it means that he exceeded everything that was wrong. I like that, don't you? He exceeded every problem they had. I want to tell you, God's grace will exceed every wrong in your life. My Bible said where sin did abound, grace much more did abound. I don't care what's out of balance. God can balance it all up because he is God. Secondly, it not only demonstrates to us that he is the exceeding God, it shows us that he is the mighty God. That word Elohim describes him in his power. My God's not some wimp God. Matter of fact, I'd like to prove a little bit about that. Do you remember the day when Elijah came against the prophets of Baal?
Yeah.
There were hundreds of them. And I want to tell you, at Mount Carmel, a lot of things changed. Number one, that minds change when it comes to knowing Jehovah God. Elijah told them, he said, well, just go ahead and call on your God. And maybe he's out to lunch or something. Maybe he's asleeping or something. Why, go ahead and call on him. And he really put them to shame.
Yes, sir.
And before he saw the power of God fall, he let him pour water on the altar that he was about to see God and fumigate with fire.
Amen.
Somebody said, was that tempting God? Why, Lord, no. That was just making God more precious. You know what he wanted them to know? That their God was a weak, feeble, no count God, and that God was Almighty God. The Lord can help people that's got wet wood. Amen. He can speak. Notice he said he uses God. There's a demonstration. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Watch it now. Who hath with his hands fulfill that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, say. Now what Solomon is doing is pointing out the priority of God bringing his will about or into place. Now Solomon is able to convince them that this was all part of the plan. Now what that means to you and I is that Solomon didn't have all those pieces until he got right here. I'm convinced in spite of ever how much wisdom he had, he did not have full, complete knowledge. He had to have enough faith to get to the next step and the next stop. But when God culminated and brought it about, it was a real blessing to those people. He got excited about the fact that what God did, he did with his own hands. That means three things. Number one, it shows us that the Lord had direction in what he was doing. Right? The Lord had direction. I want to tell you something. God is not making his way every day. He made a way before he ever created this planet. Secondly, it not only shows us that the Lord had direction, it shows us that the Lord had a means in which he would operate. You still with me, class?
Amen.
I'll give you the third one. It shows us there's an indication of power. It's not a thing in the world that happens that the Lord can't plow right through. I'll give you another little piece and I'll leave you. He said, since the day, now this is the very culmination of hope because he begins to look at their history. Look at verse number 5, class. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said in verse number 5, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. Now, I want you to understand one thing, that even though God knew who that man was, they didn't. We've got to understand that if we don't have all the pieces to the puzzle, we've got to know that in the spiritual realms of our life that God's going to put the right piece in its place. Amen. I want to tell you something. I told a guy the other day, he was asking me about some things, about what I was doing. I said, I want to tell you what I'm doing right now in my church. I'm praying for God to put certain elements together. I really am. I love to lead singing. I love to play instruments. But I'm praying for God to put a person in every one of those areas. Honest to God. And I'll tell you something. I believe that it's proper to ask the Lord for that.
Yes, it is.
You say, why? Because it's His house. It's His place. I want to tell you, God, He don't have any problem finding people how to put in that place. He was aware. He wanted to make them aware of the priority of worship. It was a place for communion, and it was designated. It was a place of confession and its reference. Now, you've got to understand that the Lord wanted them to understand that they have a place of history following them. Every one of us, and I'm almost through now because I can tell you can't endure but so much. They had something in mind. They had a life following behind them. Every one of us have pages in our life. And every time we get to a new day, there's another page turned in our life. Many of you people, I never had any knowledge of you. Do you understand, until I came to this church, I'd had nothing to do with Newton, North Carolina. I can only recall one thing that ever brought me to this place. They used to have a place called the Hallelujah Supper Club up here somewhere. I guess that was about the only time that I ever had any reason to come, and I won't ever forget it because Dolores was pregnant with one of our children, and it was interrupted by such movement. So I can't even go down, sit down and enjoy a meal and eat without some turbulence. Let me give you this little piece, and then we'll leave it. Their history is brought before us. Notice the Bible said in verse number 5, since the day that I brought forth my people out. God wanted them to understand that there were some things that He had directed. Secondly, there were some things that He had carried out for them. You don't have to worry about what you carry. He'll be there to carry you. I give you a third. It was the way that God broke them out. The Lord had to make them miserable enough to get them to want to leave. Sometimes you just got to get to the point that you know that you can't do it the way you've been doing it. It ain't working. Right? It's just not working. I've never seen a time, and this is one of the things that's brought about so many mixed emotions. People's lives have been changed through this economy crunch. A lot of people have lost their jobs. Relocated. We've seen that happen repeatedly, even in our church. But the people that trust God found out that the Lord will be Lord no matter where they have to go. And I'd like to know that I was received if I had to relocate, wouldn't you? Isn't that right? So it's good to know. Do y'all understand I'm an implant? I moved to Caldwell County in 1979. I wasn't raised around here. If you wonder why I don't talk like the rest of these hillbillies, I got part of South Carolina in me and part of North Carolina. You mix them two together, you just messed up. That's why I'm the way I am. So I'll tell you, that's double gauge, isn't it? I can see not only what He broke them out of, what He carried them through, what He's leading them to. He gives us a priority of our worship. He lets us see the presence of God in our worship. And then He lets us understand the principles of blessing when we worship. He says, now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst dwell in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son which shall come forth out of thy loins. Now, I'll tell you something. God didn't try to discourage David. God just wanted David to know that even though it was being built, it was still a part of him bringing it to pass. You know what? You need to try to find something good in everything that even is bad that seems to happen to us. Categorically, find something good in it.
The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he hath spoken, for I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised. Here it is. And hath built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. I'll conclude by saying this. The word name there exposes us to two elements about God. Number one, it exposes us to the element of his character.
Amen.
God's got good character.
Amen. Yes.
Your character is not what you say you are. Your character is who you really are.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
It not only exposes us to his character, it helps us to see his authority.
Yes.
That his name is honor by his own authority. I want to say tonight, the place where everything changes is in the place of worship. There's so many pieces left laying around. Boy, I've got this pulpit just covered with pieces, trying to decide which piece to give you, which piece not to give you. I can see the place of God's presence proven, the prominence of God's power needed. I can see the evidence of God's peace received. They were excited. The Bible said Solomon still, and they all stood. He just stilled the whole congregation. There ought to be a reverence for the Lord's faithfulness in his place of worship.
Amen. Amen.
You see what keeps us together? The reverence that we have in God's faithfulness. That'll be it. I did have three major things I wanted to give you, and I couldn't. Not only the reverence of the Lord's faithfulness, that there's a review of the calamity faced. Every person under the sound of my voice has a story to tell based on where you've been, what you've been through. But there's a result that's based on our obedience to it. Now, where we're standing right now can somewhat be a place of mixed emotions because there's so many unfinished things. You got any unfinished business in your life of worship? Let God stem them. Let him take care of it. Let's pray together.